When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's Hour 5, G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day as we're about to go across enemy lines here and chat with Cody Stutes. He covers the Houston Texans at Houston Football and on YouTube. And you should follow him. I just retweeted one of his recent tweets there at G-Bag Nation. If you want to jump on there and get more Houston Texans info, you can right now from Cody Stutes. And good afternoon, Cody. How the heck are you?
Doing fantastic. Happy to be on talking some football with you guys.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Thanks for your insights and perspective. Now, you guys down there in Houston don't think you could actually lose this game, right?
Well, I mean, when you've watched this offensive line play as bad as it has all season long, and you know that there's a guy like Michael Parsons that could really transform and change a game like he can, then, yeah, I mean, it doesn't look great for the Cowboys in this matchup, but I wouldn't put anything past this Texans team that's played some really disappointing football this season.
Is that what's given Houston the biggest problems, is when the line can't keep the pressure off of Stroud?
Oh, it's putrid. And they made an offensive line change last week. They moved their starting center to left guard. They put their backup center in at center, and they got a little bit better than the previous week, but it'd have been a war crime if they didn't get better from the previous week. They played the Jets on Thursday night, allowed 8 sacks and 21 total pressures. Well, it dropped to only 4 sacks and 16 total pressures against the Lions team that doesn't have Aiden Hutchinson and doesn't have anybody else that really knocks your socks off when it comes to pass rush. And then the scary part was the rushing attack went away. Joe Mixon been averaging 100 yards per game or more in every game that he started and finished for this team, but they couldn't run block to save their lives on Sunday night against the Lions. And look, that's a pretty decent defense that Detroit's got, but they shouldn't absolutely shut down your rushing attack. So there's some massive offensive line issues with this Texans team. It's affected C.J. Stroud, and if they can't run block and they can't run the football, and that's sometimes been their only source of offense, this could be bowling shoe ugly on Monday between these two teams.
Cody, you know, one thing that I wanted to ask you about was Bobby Slowick, the offensive play caller, and maybe with you telling us about this offensive line, maybe that has a lot to do with it, but he's obviously one of these hot commodity, huge names, maybe head coaching candidate. Is he still this year what he was thought to be going into the offseason, where he's one of the best up-and-coming coaches?
No, hell no, not at all. I mean, he's taken a huge step back as a coordinator, and he's just become sort of, he's paralyzed in games, and whatever they worked on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, it almost feels like he has to do those things. And it's worked a couple of times where they've had some big first halves and then the slightest adjustment by the opposing defense, and he just gets stuck, and he can't adjust on the fly, and he can't change things. They haven't scored a second-half touchdown since week 6. It's awful. And even when they scored that second-half touchdown against the New England, the previous week they didn't score a second-half touchdown. Like, they're awful in the second halves. And I know that halftime sometimes gets overrated as to what you can do, but they come out just flat as flat can be, and one slight adjustment by an opposing defense just kind of throws them out of whack. Now, look, Nico Collins has been gone for a month plus. Like, they've had some issues. Diggs gets hurt a few weeks ago, but nothing. I mean, you can't score any points in the second half. Like, It's been really bad, and Slowick gets very set in his ways. What he believes will work and what he believes is going to work is what he sticks to. He doesn't get out of his comfort zone very often. And once C.J. Stroud made a mistake in the second half against the Lions, he sort of turtled and just kind of ran the ball a whole bunch. And we just talked about how they couldn't run the ball very well. So, yeah, Slowick's lost a lot of juice from last year where, you know, teams were thinking he could be on the head coach trajectory. I mean, if he doesn't get better, then DeMeco Ryans needs to have a serious conversation at the end of the season about Bobby Slowick.
Did Slowick drop that play the other night where Titus Howard takes the ball away from C.J. Stroud?
Oh, boy, that was awful. I mean, Will Anderson's probably not going to play, but maybe Titus can get a snap or two at defensive end since he wants to strip the quarterback. I mean, that was bad. And Titus is inconsistent over there at right tackle. The tackles have been okay, and even with the pass block, it's the interior, it's an issue. And then Titus said, I was trying to hold him up. I'm like, that's not what happened. You were trying to pull the Caleb Williams from OU a few years ago where he tried to go and get it. And it didn't work. It looked bad. That was a bad deal.
Cody, you just kind of mentioned there that you don't feel like that Will Anderson's going to play this week.
Yeah, I mean, he played at a much lower level at the end of last season when he was dealing with an injury.
Sure.
And he even said as much earlier this year, I didn't even recognize myself. He got rolled up on pretty bad in the Jets game on Thursday night. He missed last week. He didn't practice today. I'd be surprised if he's not closer to 100% when they put him out there than say, 80 and we can use him, mainly because they've got Danielle Hunter on that other side. He's been really, really good for them.
It's Cody Stoots, covers the Houston Texans at Houston Football. You can catch his stuff on YouTube as well. Does it matter to Houston fans that they are playing Dallas? Is there anything to the rivalry like we have in baseball and basketball?
There's definitely some juice to this for Houston fans. I don't know that I really ever noticed it from Dallas fans, but there's certainly some hopes that, hey, if you're going to win and bounce back, like this is a great team to bounce back against. I've had some fans, fans can sometimes get a little out there, like, I don't care if they lose the rest of them as long as they beat Dallas. There is a little bit of hate for the Cowboys from the Texans, and I think that does exist as a team that they would love to hand a loss to, more so than just about anybody else on the schedule.
What's going on with these corners? I saw you tweeting about a couple big names missing practice.
Yeah, Kamari Lassiter, he took a little friendly fire when Jimmy Ward ran into him on Sunday night. He's in concussion protocol, and I'd be shocked if he plays in this one. He's been fantastic as a rookie cornerback. And then Derek Stingley has a hip injury. And with Stingley, you never know if he needs like a day off and then he's back out there or if this is something that's going to linger. He's had some soft tissue injuries in his history, but a hip injury is a little bit more serious. If they can't play Stingley, that cornerback room is going to be, CeeDee Lamb's going to have a field day with them. It's two backups that are not very good, or it's Jeff Okuda coming off of IR. He hadn't played since week one of the season. So there's some real concern about two of the best defensive players in both Will Anderson and Derek Stingley not playing. And then, Lassiter's been one of their better guys too. So if he doesn't play, they better get to the quarterback or, this is not a crew that can cover a whole heck of a long time.
Having Nico Collins coming back, what does that do for the offense? The explosive plays seem like he's one of the best in the league.
Well, I hope it makes them at least an average passing attack. There was a time early in the season when Collins and Stephon Diggs were both playing that the Texans spent some time at the top or near the top of overall passing. And, Nico's been down for a few weeks and they can't seem to get anything going consistently. Nobody can get open except for Nico Collins. So Diggs is obviously hurt. These other guys that are out there, they can't get open. Even Tank Dell, his separation is almost non-existent. Guys are too physical with him at the line of scrimmage and he doesn't get open fast enough for C.J. Stroud to make quick decisions. Collins is the guy that can get open. He can win fast. He can win over the middle. He can win on a deep ball that's kind of a 50-50 ball. They don't have anybody else that can do that on this offense. And so I hope that he at least brings the floor up a whole lot higher. I don't know exactly how high the ceiling's going to go. He's certainly going to make them better, and he can win a quick route and let C.J. Stroud get things out on time. And he's the only one that can do that. So hopefully he makes him look like at least an average passing attack while he's out there.
We're learning a bunch about the Houston Texans here with Cody Stoots here in Houston. He covers the Houston Texans at Houston Football. What do you think about C.J. Stroud here as a top quarterback prospect for the future? Is that still in line?
I would say yes. I mean, there are 5 to 10 plays a game where only him and 4 or 5 other guys in the league could make that play. And you're talking about the Lamars, the Mahomes, the Josh Allens of the world. And there's some step back to him too. Look, I think the pressure has gotten to him a little bit here in the past few weeks. It's created some messy footwork, and he doesn't pull the trigger as quick and as accurately as he did last year when he had those long stretches last year where he was really good. So I think D'Amico Ryan said it today. He wants C.J. Stroud to go out there. He wants him to cut it loose, rip it all over the field, have fun. And I think really what he's saying is, hey, trust what you see. Stroud mentioned it a couple weeks ago. I'm trying to do too much sometimes. I'm not just taking what's there. And that's what he was doing a little bit in the first half against Detroit when they got that lead is, hey, first thing was there, put the foot in the ground, get the ball out on time. And when he can do that, he's a whole lot better from just the stuff that every quarterback can do. And then his ability to make something out of nothing sometimes is just incredible. I mean, he does that drifting thing where he drifts and drifts and, you know, doesn't try to run to get the first down, but just kind of waits for somebody to get open. That's going to be a bigger weapon now because Collins is really good on the scramble drill with C.J. Stroud. But yeah, he's still well on his way to being and staying one of the top QBs in this game. It's a little bit less impressive than last year from an overall standpoint, but there's still plenty of wow moments from C.J. Stroud.
You brought up Stephon Diggs, obviously out for the season. How was that going, and do you think Houston would like to keep him long-term?
It's tough to figure out what's going to happen with Diggs because of the knee injury. I mean, he probably wouldn't be ready till October next year. I mean, the market that they changed his contract and turned it into a one-year deal. And I'm sure the hope from him was have a big year and go be a quarterback a wide receiver that somebody invests in big time in free agency. Well, that's not happened coming off of his first big, major knee injury in his early 30s. So as far as like comfort level, I think Diggs would be pretty comfortable hanging around, trying to be a guy that shows up maybe in October next year and helps the Texans out from, midseason on. He seemed to really enjoy playing here. The other wide receivers loved him. They talked about how many different things he taught them. You could see it on the practice field. Like there weren't very many wasted moments. He was always grabbing a wide receiver and walking through or showing them this. And I think some of Nico Collins' success has been, obviously building on what he did last year, but just some of the different things that Diggs was able to teach him. Collins said earlier in the year that the list is too long for me to explain how much I've already learned from Stephon Diggs. I would tell you, if I was Diggs and I was the Texans, I'd be interested in, maybe one more year of this relationship because none of that bad Minnesota, bad Buffalo stuff had gotten anywhere close to showing up. They were winning. He was getting catches. He was producing. There wasn't anything for him to be upset about before the injury.
Hey, Cody, it looks like on defense, though, they hit on this rookie, though, with this Kalen Bullock. Talk about I'd seen him play at USC, thought he was a corner playing safety. Kid looks like a ball hawk for this Texans team.
Yeah, they've let him play center field and just try to make the other 10 guys right. And a lot of times he's doing that. He doesn't help a ton in coming up and helping on run plays. And
slight guy
he doesn't do a whole lot of that. But he just – and I think it's because they trust him to know where the ball is going and what the opposing offense is trying to do. He just finds himself around the football.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the rookie leader in interceptions. He does a lot with the ball in his hands when he does intercept the ball. And they've had to put him out there a lot with some of the injuries that they've had at the safety spot. But I think the goal was by the end of the year for him to be sort of a consistent starter. And he sort of forced his way on the field early. He was getting like 60% of the snaps the first few weeks. And then boom, he was like a 98% of the snaps guy, and he's never looked back. He's been a real nice find for Nick Caserio as a late third rounder.
Nick, you've seen the AFC now for 10 weeks. Could you see Houston making a run to the Super Bowl? Can anybody unseat the Chiefs?
No, this feels very much, unless something changes in the next 7 games, this feels very much like your typical Houston Texans season. You win the AFC South because the division stinks. You don't even have to worry about winning the division because the other three teams are so bad. You find yourself as the 4-5 matchup that kicks off Wild Card Weekend on Saturday afternoon. Maybe you get a little lucky because that team doesn't show up and you beat them, and then you go on the road to one of the AFC elites and you get beat up because you're not one of the AFC elites. Like, they've got a long way to go before they'd even think about considering themselves in the same league as Baltimore and Kansas City and even Buffalo. And they beat Buffalo earlier this year, but I wouldn't trust them to go on the road and take on Buffalo in cold weather. Like, I wouldn't trust them to handle their business in that matchup. Defense travels, but you can't do much when your offense can't be consistent and put points on the board. So they're clearly a class below the tops of the AFC elites.
Great stuff, Cody. Enjoy the game. We'll catch up with you soon.
Appreciate you.
Cody Stutes. Follow him on YouTube and on X, and you'll be smarter about the Houston Texans.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a great report, wasn't it?
Yeah, man, those injuries, though, like I said, the one thing that you...
Dude, Anderson and Stingley?
Anderson, Stingley, Lassiter. And then Lassiter, too. Because Lassiter, like, completion percentage against him is, like, around 45%. Like, they've done a great job with that secondary, and if they're dealing with like two of their three big players being out, boy, that would be huge for this Cowboys offense.
Right on. It's time now for a sports hodgepodge, Chief. Where are you taking it?
Tyson and the Toad plus childhood pastime.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Times next year in the nation.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's time for a sports hodgepodge. Let's close this show off properly. You do have the Fan After Dark throwing heat in the bullpen right now. Look over there. You got Fred and Blake just zinging it in there. They're ready to go 4 hours coming up at 7 o'clock. Segment here brought to you by Soda, the state of the art. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is the victim of a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com, and here's the Chief.
Anybody picking the Commanders tonight? Anybody? You know, doesn't have to be Survivor. Just put it out there for the love of the game. Anybody willing to go that far?
Give me the Commanders.
All right, Wolchuk's taking the Commanders tonight.
Is that your Survivor pick?
Are you surviving?
Put it down.
Oh, I just did it. I just did.
Wow.
Punch the ticket?
He punched it. He punched it.
That's ballsy.
Jaden Daniels. That should be worth two. Going to crush it tonight.
That's a four-point dog.
He's never lost on Thursday Night Football.
That would break a record.
Never lost.
Ready to lose, but I think I'm going to get this one, boys. Feeling good.
Wow, dude. Bad luck to you, Wolchuk.
He's been on a roll, though.
His Thursday night football gut has been one of the most trustworthy things of this football season.
Be making money on him doing this, yeah.
Yep.
I got a bad gut today, though.
That's true.
Something maybe I shouldn't listen to it.
Something is backfiring on him in a way, and I do think there's something to be said for over the last 2 weeks now with the weight loss thing that we're going on, and now the gut of Walchuk starting to shrink back a little bit. Can it be as trusted as it was when it was at the peak of its powers like 3-4 weeks ago?
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's a fair question.
I called you out yesterday.
What'd you say?
I said you were looking at college tape the whole day.
I did do that. Not the whole day, but I definitely took advantage
of it. Like he said you had the baby in your right arm.
And you were in your in the clicker in your left is what you were doing.
No, I didn't go quite that far, but I did knock out some players yesterday.
How many players did you knock out yesterday?
4.
How many you got, Broadus?
12.
12. All right. So we'll keep tracking this thing. We'll pull it all nighter. It's not a competition.
Yes,
no, not at all.
Eventually, everything's a competition, dude.
Yeah, bleep you.
Of course it is. You guys have warrior spirits.
Just watch a couple of series and go, you know.
Trust me. Yeah. I know the scout Gavin.
Let's go.
And I'm picking up on it.
Let's watch some highlights. You know, I just need 3 takes.
Yeah. Well, part of Walchuk's his 4-man film study last night resulted in Ashton Jeanty being the next Emmitt Smith. So, draft season is upon us, man.
They just did a special on him on ESPN.
But there were some
pretty
traits.
Special.
There's some resemblances there a little bit.
They're both 5'9".
Yeah. Not Jerry's resemblance, but when it comes to...
He said he zigged when others zagged.
Yeah, I mean, he's just the way he has defenders just falling off of him, the contact balance, the way he's able to just break tackles to me showed me a little memories. Little memories there, the deuce.
Big Emmitt energy for you?
Big Emmitt energy.
Yeah.
Hey, that's an energy.
I just appreciate
would love
the
to
fact
have.
That Chief didn't lose his mind over there. When early in the show, we had running back talk.
Well, he didn't talk, and I knew he was upset.
Yeah.
Well, you guys were giving your analysis. You guys studied the player. I was all ears at that point.
We just had running back talk.
No, he's a really good player. RBT. We'll see where they're picking. I mean, it might not be a conversation.
Yeah. Well, because
he might go before that.
Yeah.
It's possible.
He might go number one overall. He'll be the first player ever picked with the 0 overall pick.
All right. You don't know the players, but you have the first overall pick. You don't know the names. What position you take with the first overall pick?
Well, in a perfect world, you're taking a quarterback.
It's
there.
Not a perfect world.
It's not a perfect world.
I can't trade down?
Definitely isn't.
No, no. You got to stand in there and make it's a not. Pick.
I'm taking an end.
Yeah, I think a pass. I mean, I'm going either offensive line or defensive line. And by defensive line, I mean edge rusher in particular. But, I mean, I know you said no names, but Travis Hunter, of course, would be enticing.
I think that's who I would take.
The wide receiver / corner.
Are you playing him both
two birds,
ways?
One stone?
I'm playing at wide receiver is what I'm going to do.
But man, you're going to have packages for him.
He's a damn good
right?
corner,
defensively,
too.
Right?
Well, I'll do what I have to do.
You have him higher graded than Jeanty?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I do, yeah.
He's a one of one. I do think he should be your Heisman winner.
You take a wide receiver number one overall for like the fourth time in NFL history.
I've only seen 12 players. Somebody might show up.
I mean, he is fantastic. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I loved him at both.
I will say this, though. If Dallas is picking in the top 10 of the 12 guys I've seen, I appreciate the names that are there. I appreciate that, you know, the guys are there because I think they're going to get a hell of a player from the names I've seen so far, if they go that route.
Okay, so Friday night, of course, tomorrow night, AT&T Stadium, we have the fight.
We do.
And we've been building it up here nicely yesterday
and
today.
You and I are
yeah, we're in the undercard. You'll tear me up, dude. I don't want any part of that. But we know about the Mike Tyson toad smoking.
Toad venom.
Yeah. That's why he was talking to that little girl like that. Yeah. He doesn't see the other side.
He's gonna die.
Honestly, it is true. He's talking about like how he's so much more comfortable with death now after having done it. But he actually had a sit down interview with Rosie Perez for Interview Magazine in lead up to this fight. And you know how Jake Paul was saying that, like, the gods in the universe and the history books, like, it's already written or whatever. God told him he's won or something, you know, ridiculous.
He's doing weird stuff.
Well, apparently something similar with Mike Tyson. Why'd you want to end your retirement and come on back out? And it was because he had a moment with God, and God told him to do that after he was, you know, immersed in toad venom. And he described it. He says, you see a toad, you bust its P word.
Oh.
So I guess it has to be a female toad.
Okay. Well, I mean, the male's a
is Yoni?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He says, you put it on like a mirror and it gets hard.
Oh. Okay.
You rub it down until it becomes fine sand and then you smoke it. Then you meet God, he says.
Wow.
And he says, and this is what God told me to do, this being come out of retirement and fight the YouTuber.
Huh. So, I thought this Toad Venom was years back, though.
Yes. So he's done it 80 or 90 times, he says.
Oh, I see.
And so I guess he had a recent moment with the Toad and God, and this is the conclusion he came to. 58 years old, bust out of retirement and go collect a check and potentially another body.
I heard him say, I wish he would have told me about the ulcer. You know, could have cleared up the schedule a little bit.
That would have been nice.
Yeah.
But well, he says,
I got you, Mike. Hold on. Make that in November. Yeah.
He says you don't see God in that moment, but you feel him.
Yeah.
And then you feel like you're nothing, but you're everything all at the same time. So
yeah.
He's making perfect sense. And that's the reason why he is apparently, allegedly, going to be in the ring tomorrow night at AT&T Stadium.
Cannot wait to see
it. Toad Venom.
Ding, ding, ding.
What time is it going to go on, you think? We got to get home 10:30
or
so?
Starts at 7. The pay-per-view card. Well,
Mike's not
going to
go on until.
I'm thinking at least 10.
9, 10, yeah. I mean, I don't know how many fights they have on the card.
Yeah, I'm picking 10 o'clock.
Pretty strong undercard in terms of, like, volume.
Okay, so we got good volume. Yeah, then, 10's a good guess.
Yeah, 10 o'clock. My phone has always went off at 10 o'clock. I have a alarm set, 10 o'clock Saturday nights, just in case there's a fight going.
Oh, smart move.
Every time. Just to look up, make sure there's a fight not going.
Yeah, because Saturday night you have the Jon Jones and Stipe Miocic fight, and those guys clearly have some like hate for one another.
Well, Stipe used the B word. Jon did not like that.
Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Call him a baby?
Yeah. What happens when you cross the line,
buttoned
man?
Up? What do you mean?
He's a bitch.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, so it's going to be a great fight weekend. Looking forward to it. 10 o'clock. Eric Kendrick said it's going to be too late for him. It's going to be past his bedtime. We need to figure out what his bedtime schedule is, what his regimen is. Is he an 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock guy? I don't know. It's getting darker now earlier, so perhaps that sets the mood a little bit more to want to go to sleep. But he said it's going to be too late for him. I would expect at least 10-something.
You have Monday night game. You want to get the body clock going, getting used to being up until 10:30, 11 o'clock.
Okay.
I
like the counterpoint.
Get your head in the game.
Yeah. Now, tonight, Bobby Belt is sleeping over at Choppy's house.
And they've been advertising it.
Yes, they've been really promoting this sleepover.
You think they're going to play Twister?
No. All options are on the table. It'll be drunk. Whatever they're doing, it's drunk whatever. So it's drunk Twister or
Bobby's passed out
drunk
already.
Monopoly.
He's sleeping.
I don't think he's getting over there until like 8:30 or something. That's the itinerary. The sleepover itinerary has him pulling up at
8:30. Like showing straight up and then going to bed?
Club chop. No, they're
hanging out, bro. Spend a night, man. Remember spending a night at your friend's house? Used to be amazing.
Yeah.
Used to have your friend ask your mom, hey, man, ask my mom.
Yeah. But you won't say no if you ask.
Yeah.
If you ask, you can do it.
Yeah, if you're over there in Trophy Club right now and you hear somebody talking way too loud in a backyard like a half mile away, that's Bobby.
Now, they brought up, like they were.
That's a real thing.
They were asking, and this is all happening because Choppy lives in Roanoke and tomorrow's the final stop on the firehouse.
Yeah, get out there to the firehouse.
Roanoke Firehouse. I'm going to probably pull up with my kids because I'm like 10 minutes from there. So
that's nice.
Something to do with the kiddos, look at the fire trucks and everything. So I'm looking forward to popping in there tomorrow morning.
What are you like, team player dude? Like, all of a sudden, like, you're team player guy, like, going out and being a part of other things.
Well, you know, you do a little Toad Venom all of a sudden. You start
I like what you're doing. I appreciate you doing it, though.
Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah. I mean, when it's in my neck of the woods, dude, I mean, if you're going to pull up to a brewery 20 minutes from my house, I'm going to meet you there, especially if it's Martin House, all right? If you're going to be at a fire truck place where I can take my kiddos 10 minutes down the road, I'll see you there.
The firemen people like you a lot, right? You got, like, shirts and hats and
I'll tell you what, the two stops that I've been on, Glen Heights. And
you're
Denton?
Actually getting a free meal is what you're doing. You're Palmering tomorrow.
Well,
he's keeping the kids busy, too. That's a big win.
You get free food.
If you keep your kids idle around the house, they will bother you every 2 minutes. What are we doing? What are we doing? Can we do this? Can we do that?
Boom.
You give them a mission?
Yeah.
You're out there for 3 hours. They're focused.
And you're making memories, too.
Exactly. And it's been a big picture all week long when they are like, hey, let's do this. I'm like, well, hey, don't worry.
Hey,
it's
ever
Friday.
Seen a fire truck?
Friday, we're doing the fire truck deal. And they're pumped about it, dude. They're going to be, they're ready to rock.
All right.
So tomorrow's going to be awesome. Looking forward to that. But they were talking about today, like the activities that they might get into. And at one point, they brought up the idea of ding dong ditching.
Oh,
a beautiful pastime.
Yeah.
And Sean was like,
can Bobby really run? I mean, can you see Bobby running and falling down like on the driveway?
Oh, probably looking at a 22-second 100.
I don't know who that could have ever happened to before.
He's like, his arms are like flapping all
his
over the
swishy
place.
Hips.
Yeah, he's
that's
a
very
he,
thing.
He actually, swings.
I can experience. I've experienced that.
The falling down.
It wasn't
ding dong
ditching.
Ditch.
It was we wrapped a house.
Yeah.
and we're all like running away.
Saran wrap?
I freaking
toilet paper.
There's like an elevation on the sidewalk.
Oh yeah,
like a crack.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like me at the
hit it wrong. Went flying about 5 yards.
Yes,
just skinned everything on my body. Got up, like Avis. Ducked behind a fence.
That's how you lost your nipple.
Yeah. Well, it never grew back.
You popped right up, didn't you? Though.
Oh, I popped right back up and looked around like, did anybody see this?
The adrenaline. I mean, you're still, because you still don't want to get caught. Like, you're still, the game's still being played.
I still ran and hid, but.
Whistle hasn't blown.
Now I've lost everybody. it was not good.
We got chased once, and a buddy ran right back to my other buddy's house, right through the front door.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Just like, easy. Like, bro, you go around, come through the alley, back door, Jeff.
Hop in a bush, like somebody else's house. Hop a fence.
Thank you.
You don't go right to home base there. Broad daylight.
Sorry, guys. I was scared.
Yeah.
I was introduced to this game by a little white friend of mine when I first moved into the neighborhood. Yeah. Yeah. And he didn't call it whatever you just called it.
Oh,
and he called it that to my face. I was like, okay, well, hey, I'm welcome to the neighborhood, bro. Oh, hey, you want to go knock it? I was like, damn.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah. Well, you know, we did it for 4 hours. What you talking about? We had a great time.
High level adrenaline.
So I guess he's the only buddy I'm going to get. Got to make the most of it.
That's it, man.
Yeah, I had one time my buddy did the same thing. He was the one that was dinging it. So, like, you don't all have to go up to the door, at least the way we played it. Like, you have one person that has to ding it. Everybody's kind of in the yard, and then once he dings it, you go. But if you were the dinger, then you are obviously kind of bringing it up the rear here.
Is that a dangerous game now with the Ring cameras?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You can't do it with the Ring.
That's a great point.
Yes.
That and prank calling are dead. You know, unfortunately.
You got to look for the random house that doesn't have a Ring.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Bobby was actually talking about doing the prank calls tonight as well.
Wow.
With Chops. We'll see if they pull it off. But yeah, I had a buddy that was running through the yard and he was fast. And he was running through the yard, and then he got to the driveway, and just the surface change threw him off, and he flew through the air.
Once again, like Avis.
It was bad.
You're in the dark.
Avis parking lot.
You're probably running about 10% over optimal, you know, because the adrenaline's kicked in. You're in the dark. You can't see. Yeah. You know,
everybody else has to be close to you, though, right? They can't be on the sidewalk or nothing like that. You have to be closer. You're not really playing the game.
Yeah,
right?
Like you got to be in the yard.
You got to be close, bro. Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Yes.
You can't get like a head start two houses down.
Yeah, I don't like that. Right?
None of that. None of that.
All right, stop it. What are you doing?
How do you draw to see who goes first? How do you do that?
Usually somebody's fired up.
It's the most fun. Yeah. You want to be that
usually
guy.
That one
you want
guy
the turn.
Steps up.
Lead from the front. But I was just surprised when they brought it up this morning that Sean, who grew up, you know, in Maryland, he had never even heard of it.
No.
I was like, I thought this was a worldwide, certainly a,
let me ask you this.
Prestige, a countrywide.
What do you do if you capture somebody? Like you capture, like you're getting your doorbell ring, but you capture one of them.
Oh, well, then that person's screwed.
Yeah. Do you like
you get your parents called?
I can't say on the air what I would do.
Do you like make them really, really scared and like do scary things?
No.
What are the scary things?
Well, like, you know, kind of make
them. You join them. You say, hey, buddy, what's next?
No, like just terrify them. Like, you know, read them the Riot Act, that kind of stuff.
I don't think so. No, it's a totally innocent activity. I think you laugh about it. You go to your front door and you see him running away and you're like, hey, I got ding dong ditched.
Yep.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah.
Finally, I'm on the other side of this now.
I've been with people that have like ring the doorbell and they had like newspaper dog mess wrapped up in newspaper and set it on fire. And then they
open
the door.
One. Yeah, you're whipping the kid's ass at that point. Yeah,
and you're stepping all over.
You dog poop me.
You're stepping all over the dog poop on the floor because you think you're putting out the fire.
We did the eggs once, threw the eggs at the houses.
We were throwing snowballs.
But it was funny.
Guy jumped out of his car. We're throwing snowballs. A guy jumped out of his car and he went chasing us. And my other buddies ran around into his hit his door open his car and just started shoveling snow into the car.
Oh, that's genius.
Into the car.
Nice job. Just
start hand shoveling snow.
Out of retaliation?
As he's chasing my other buddies, like two others.
Oh, man. That's
shoveling
bad.
Snow into the car.
Man, we were egging people so bad, they started egging us. And this one time we're hanging out upstairs and the window's open with no screen. Eggs come flying through the window. So we're like, okay, we're going to get these guys back. So we set up this prank where some of my buddies were going on an undercover mission to recruit other buddies that we were going to egg Gavin's house, right? But half my buddies were in on it. Yeah. So they come to the back through the park to my parents' house, and me and my brother and my buddy John Tennant are on the other side of it.
and we get the alert, the call from one of our other buddies who is in on it. We pop up and throw at them, chase them back to their 66 Mustang, hammer their Mustang with eggs.
Nice.
Which my buddy Brent did not appreciate, but that was probably the best egging story I ever had.
That was good.
That's epic, dude. Yeah, I love it. I can't wait to see what shenanigans unfold.
Pull the rope. You act like you're on. They got a rope, but you got people on each side of the road.
Tug of war.
And that at night, and you act like you know they see in the lights, and you act like
they
you're
slam
pulling
on their brakes
and
or whatever.
Slam on the brakes, and then you run away and stuff.
That sounds very dangerous.
Pull the rope.
I never did.
They're gonna slide into you.
That's what I'm saying. They're like you're sitting there coming down the road, and you go pull, and yeah, and you're really not pulling anything in the cars.
Yeah, you could end up being a victim of your own.
The 70s were so wild, dude. Wild.
They were.
That's kids that's fighting in neighborhoods was. Constantly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Parents fighting.
Yeah, yeah, kids would get hit by cars and wouldn't even tell their parents. Just go home.
No car seats.
I got hit by a car today.
I got hit by a car.
12-year-old smoking cigarettes in sixth grade. It was a wild
what
time.
What you doing over there?
Good old days.
Pulling people behind a car on a skateboard.
Yes. Now, that's just good old-fashioned wholesome fun.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to run, Nation. When we get back here on 105.3 The Fan, we'll crosstalk with The Fan After Dark, see what Fred and Blake have cooking here for you in the Nation. Thank you, Lucius. And thanks to all the Tolos out there, the G-Bag Nationals, for making us part of your day. A lot of great response from the text coming in about our segment. Kind of went awry. I'm not sure what set that off, but talking about the hijinks is like, oh, the Bobby Belt sleepover at RJ Choppy's.
Yeah, and I couldn't believe that Sean had never heard of Ding Dong Ditching before.
So. Yeah, that's wild. He's a tennis player, probably privileged. Little silver spoon situation.
Yeah. Only the cool kids were ding-dong ditching.
All his neighbors probably had video surveillance back in the 90s.
I see you. I got technology.
Come back again. Come back
he was a curmudgeon kid.
His hand's too little. He got shamed.
Yeah. I
You're
see
not
you.
Knocking hard enough, fool.
I see you.
I can't hear you. As Blake and Fred, the Fan After Dark, joins us now here in studio. Gentlemen, good evening. How we doing?
Fantastic. It's Thursday. We got football. We're a couple days away from the Cowboys getting blown off the field again. I mean,
I tell you, the Houston reporter we just visited.
Who'd
with.
Which you have on?
Cody Stutes.
Cody Stutes.
He made it sound studious. Like Dallas has
was
a
he
chance.
Studious?
I thought he was.
Cody's something else.
He was funny. He knew a lot.
It sounded like he had a chance Dallas, like that maybe Houston was having a bunch of injuries and their defense might be a little compromised.
Offensive line's a mess, and yeah.
That's how we get our hopes up. That's how we get our hopes up.
I'm not falling for this again.
No.
Okay? I'm not falling.
Tell them the numbers, Fred. Yeah.
Fred, come on.
So I've gone out on a limb twice, once against the Lions. Now, you could argue, too, the teams I decided to go out on a limb against.
I think you were drinking that first time.
No.
I heard your post-game.
8 years, haven't drank. Thank you very much. Oh, but
sorry.
I do
get it. Made me feel bad.
It's all good.
Tell the damn audience.
We need start.
Yeah, those edibles, though. That's another story. But so what was the number
Lions.
We came up with? So
Lions, 81-15.
Lions and Eagles. Eagles. In the two games that I predicted that the Cowboys would win, they've been outscored 85-15.
Oh.
I think it's 81-15 and they haven't scored a touchdown.
81?
Yeah. Sounds like time for a heat check, baby.
Oh, I'm done. I mean, I'm done. I've tried to pander a little bit to the Dallas crowd, and I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah, you don't.
So you're picking Texans in 28-13. Something like that?
I mean, we'll know. We'll talk about it tonight.
Okay.
I think pandering to the Dallas crowd now is just being hypercritical.
Well, we do a lot of that, too.
Stop what?
Pandering.
I mean, I'm going to have to.
Man up.
You know?
What do you guys have planned tonight, though, besides the pandering?
Well, I'll tell you what. So, a couple things we got going on. We got a couple guests. David Hellman from Fox. We'll have him on.
There you go.
My guy, Paulie G from ESPN Houston. I worked with him once upon a time. And actually, he just got featured on Pat McAfee's show the other day. And then, you guys dog people?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm not. But I've got my daughter dropping her and her little girlfriend, and that's, you know, no homo, are going to Canada.
What are we doing?
Are going to Canada. I say that because my 18-year-old cousin, I said my daughter and her girlfriend, as in, you know, because she's a girlfriend, and she was like, oh, they're together? I'm like, no. So I just want to clarify.
Her friend that's a girl.
Her friend that's a girl.
That are both girls.
Well,
you clarified it very subtly.
It's not romantic, right? Yeah. So they're driving to go see Taylor Swift in Canada.
Okay.
And they're dropping off their dog.
Your dog sitting.
I thought they'd see Melissa Etheridge, the way this conversation was going. But that should be a fun time, man. So with the daughter in a road trip to Canada as a dad, aren't you like fearful of that?
No, I mean,
really?
God bless them.
Wow.
Right? They'll be all right.
God bless them.
There's two of them. They'll be okay.
How's the weather out there?
I don't know.
It looks cold.
It looks cold, doesn't it?
Dad didn't check the weather report.
She's 12.
Are you talking outside right now, Dawson?
You got to remember, my daughter's almost 22 years old.
He's acting about outside.
I think he's talking about Canada.
No, outside.
I'm just talking about hands now.
Man, look, I don't even want to know half of what she's doing.
Is it cheaper in Canada? Why Canada?
Swifty tickets ain't easy to get, man.
Got to take them where you can get them.
That's it. That's exactly it. So that's the whole deal. So they're going to see Swift, and I'm going to watch a dog for a week.
And you'll probably be watching Commanders Eagles tonight here.
Well, we'll have
Thursday
that on
night
as well.
Football.
Absolutely.
That should be exciting.
Don't have to watch the Mavs lose tonight, so that's a W.
That's a plus.
They are going to win, right?
Yep. Going to get a W against the Jazz tonight.
We have game time decisions, though.
Kyrie's okay, Kyrie's out. Luke is playing.
PJ's out. That should be enough.
Yep.
All right.
You said we were going to beat Golden State the other day.
I know.
You're my basketball source.
They had it, dude.
They had it up seven, 4 minutes left.
Blake's like, oh, this is going to be a confident deal. I'm picking a win here, and it's going to start.
Thanks to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup at Master Control 75 and Fitzhugh. Just went 5 flawless. Thanks to Carter Freeman coordinating your video. Woolchuck and Chia follow. Thanks to Broadus as well. I'm Gavin Dawson. A Football Friday awaits you tomorrow at 2. Here comes the Fan After Dark with Blake and Fred. Have a great night, gentlemen. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the Nation. At ease.
This holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.